What if I told you that the supermassive black hole at the center of our galaxy, that terrifying, like seemingly infinite crunch of gravity we've all learned about, actually contains absolutely zero mass?
I mean, it sounds completely absurd,
Right.
but that is exactly what we're looking at today.
Yeah, exactly. So welcome to today's deep dive. We are pulling from a stack of, frankly, highly complex theoretical physics papers, specifically exploring this radical framework called existence geometry.
Right, or as the original text calls it, Bogdo-Ussets mathematics combined with the prime black hole core. It's heavy stuff.
It is a mouthful, yeah. But our mission today for you, the listener, is to take this incredibly dense material, strip away all the intimidating tensor algebra, and just reveal a completely unified, honestly mind-bending model of reality.
Because it is a massive departure from standard Newtonian or even Einsteinian physics. You know, we essentially have to unlearn this concept of a passive universe where things just happen
Right.
and start looking at existence itself as this active structural mathematics.
Okay, let's unpack this. Because before we can talk about how this reality bends or, forms massless black holes, we really need to understand what this underlying fabric actually is made of.
Exactly, you have to start at the foundation.
Right. So standard physics teaches us that space is smooth, right? Like if you zoom in, it's just a continuous slope. But these papers argue that reality is actually a quantized scalar field of what they call existence density.
Yeah, and the math represents this existence density using the Greek letter phi. And the really crucial word there is quantized.
Meaning it's in discrete chunks.
Exactly. I mean, in standard physics, you can theoretically keep having a distance forever, right? But in this model, you hit a fundamental baseline unit of reality.
The bottom of the barrel.
Right, what the papers call phi sub zero. You simply cannot have half of a phi sub zero. Existence is fundamentally discrete.
Wait, so instead of reality being this smooth ramp that you can slide down at any arbitrary point, it's more like a staircase. Like you can't stand halfway between two steps. You're either on step A or step B.
That is a perfect analogy, actually. Yes,
Yeah.
a staircase.
But the papers say these steps are built out of prime numbers, which I found totally wild. Why primes? Like, why wouldn't a basic step just be a 1, 2, 3, 4 sequence?
Well, think about the mathematical nature of a prime number, right? 2, 3, 5, 7, and so on. A prime is indivisible by anything other than itself and one.
Okay, yeah.
It just cannot be broken down into smaller, simpler, multiplicative components. And in existence geometry, that mathematical indivisibility translates to literal physical indivisibility.
Wow.
Yeah, they are the uncuttable atoms of topological geometry. They're the allowed integer steps or resonant states of the field.
I mean, I'm struggling a bit with the leap from abstract math to physical stuff. A prime number is a concept, right? How can a number physically exist as a building block?
So the fundamental shift here, and it's a big one to wrap your head around, is realizing that existence is the math.
There's no physical stuff.
Right, there is no background void holding the numbers. A low prime number, like 2 or 3, represents the simplest possible geometric topologies. Think of a fundamental triangle of existence, or a basic Planck cell.
Oh, I see.
And as you move to higher primes, say 7,919 Fercus, you aren't just getting a larger quantity of stuff, you are getting an incredibly complex woven topological shape.
So the prime number actually dictates the exact weave and configuration of the fabric itself.
Precisely.
Okay, but if reality is this rigid staircase, right, this complex weave of prime numbers, that creates a huge problem in my mind.
How so?
Well, a staircase is static. It just sits there. If the universe is just locked in these prime resonance states, how do we get movement? Like, what is actually physically rearranging these building blocks?
Okay, so the framework introduces light here, but we have to discard the traditional image of a photon. Do not picture like a little glowing ball zipping from point A to point B.
Right, because there's no empty space for a ball to zip through. The primes are literally all there is. So, what is the light actually doing?
Light acts as the operator. If you look at the mechanics of the ordinary differential equation, or ODE, trajectory mapped out in the source material, it's fascinating.
Right.
It describes light not as a traveling object, but as a sculpting mechanism that acts directly upon the scalar field. Light is what alters the existence density.
But how does a non-physical operator mold a scalar field? I mean, if I have a block of clay, I use my physical hands to apply pressure. What is the light applying?
It applies curvature, and it triggers this relentless dynamic feedback loop. When light interacts with a specific region of the field, it alters the local density of those prime number states.
Okay.
Now, when the density of existence in an area rises, meaning you have a really high concentration of these prime topologies, the trajectory of the light curves tightly around it.
Oh, because it's suddenly operating on a denser cluster of reality, so the path bends.
Exactly. And that bending has an immediate consequence. As the light path curves, it effectively ropes in and stacks even more existence quanta into a localized mesh.
Wait, so it compresses the primes closer together?
Yeah.
Yes. That compression raises the density even higher, which, according to the ODE, causes the light to bend even more sharply.
Okay, so the tighter the light curves, the more primes it packs in. And the more primes it packs in, the tighter the light curves. It's like a runaway train of geometric compression.
That's exactly what it is. And what's fascinating here is where that runaway train ends up, because standard physics hates runaway equations.
Right. Infinities are usually bad news in math.
Exactly. When density and gravity scale toward infinity in our standard models, we hit a singularity, a total breakdown where the math just stops working.
Everything just crashes.
Right. But existence geometry offers a highly elegant solution when this sculpting action reaches the absolute extreme. Reality doesn't break. The light paths simply close onto themselves.
Whoa. They bend so sharply, they just form a complete loop.
Yes. They form what the papers call the mathematical singular light, or MSL. The bending parameter goes to infinity, but instead of tearing the fabric, the light forms a perfectly closed, self-sustaining circle.
And this brings us back to that wild hook from the beginning. The papers argue that this closed loop of light looks and behaves exactly like a supermassive black hole.
Exactly like one.
But there is zero mass involved. I really need you to explain how something can exert the gravitational pull of a supermassive black hole without containing any actual mass.
Well, consider what gravity actually is in general relativity. It's the curvature of space-time, right?
Right, the bowling ball on the trampoline analogy.
Exactly. But in existence geometry, extreme mass isn't what's causing the curvature. The curvature is the fundamental property.
Oh, I get it.
Yeah. This structure is entirely made of pure existence, curvature nodes of pure light looping back on themselves. It mimics the effects of massive gravity so perfectly because the topological bending is identical.
But the driver is the light operator, not physical bulk.
Precisely.
So it's essentially a whirlpool made of the fabric of reality itself, spinning so tightly that the water just forms a permanent ring.
A permanent ring, yes. The mathematical term the sources use is a limit cycle. It reaches a state of maximum compression where the prime numbers are packed into their ultimate topological density.
But they don't collapse.
No, they never collapse into nothingness. It is entirely lossless. The existence quanta are perfectly conserved within that looping cycle.
Here's where it gets really interesting, because if we talk about black holes being completely lossless, we have to tackle the information paradox.
Yes, the big one.
Yeah, because standard astrophysics suggests that if I toss a physical object, say an encyclopedia, into a black hole, the unique quantum information of that book is destroyed. It's just gone.
And physicists hate this because quantum mechanics strictly relies on information being conserved.
Exactly. So if a black hole is just this limit cycle of looping light, what actually happens to the encyclopedia when it falls in?
Well, this model resolves the paradox completely. To understand how, let's just break down the anatomy of a black hole through this new lens.
Okay, lay it on me.
When the encyclopedia crosses the threshold, it is not being crushed out of existence. Its matter is simply translated into new existence. New prime states being added to the field.
Wait, so the encyclopedia just becomes additional prime number steps added to the overall staircase?
Exactly. And the event horizon is simply the geometric boundary where the light paths start looping. It's the outer edge of the limit cycle.
What about the singularity, the center?
The singularity, the core itself, is drastically reimagined here. It is not a gravitational garbage disposal. The core is actually a distributive hub.
Wait, if it's a distributive hub, does it just chew up the information and spit it out randomly? Because that still sounds like the original data is scrambled and lost.
Not scrambled. Branched. The information gets woven directly into a multi-connected topology. The light paths inside the MSL are highly, highly complex.
Okay.
So the unique quantum signature of the encyclopedia branches along these paths. It becomes an integral part of the shape of the looping light itself. And eventually, you have Hawking radiation, which standard physics views as a black hole slowly evaporating and leaking particles, right?
Right.
Well, in this framework, Hawking radiation is simply the slow, gentle uncurling of those tightly wound light paths back into low number, simple primes. the complex mesh, releasing its tension back into the broader field.
But if the information is flawlessly preserved in this, like, topological vault, why does thermodynamics tell us that entropy or disorder spikes dramatically inside a black hole? It seems completely contradictory.
It does seem that way, but the key difference is separating the existence of the data from the accessibility of the data.
Oh, accessibility.
Right. Entropy doesn't spike because the data is destroyed or randomized. It spikes because the question path to find that data becomes astronomically branched. Mm. In computer science terms, we say tracking it is NP-hard.
Let me make sure I follow that. The information isn't gone, it's just secured in a maze so complex that calculating the path to find it would take an ungodly amount of computational power.
Exactly. The unitarity, the fundamental preservation of the universe's ledger, is entirely intact. It's just mathematically locked away in an infinite web of prime geometry.
Which logically leads to a massive computational hurdle, honestly. If tracking this information is NP-hard, and the core is this infinitely looping mathematical cycle, how could any artificial intelligence ever hope to process this?
It's a huge problem for standard computing.
Yeah, because if you ask a standard computer to calculate a sequence that goes on forever, it doesn't give you a profound answer. It freezes. You know, the fans spin up and the system crashes. Does the AI just give up?
A standard brute force approach would absolutely crash. If an AI tried to simulate every single prime interaction inside an infinite loop, it would run out of compute instantly.
Right.
But the source material details a really specific algorithmic framework designed to navigate this. It's called ODE-CCT, and the CCT stands for Continuous Collapse Theory.
Continuous Collapse Theory. I actually love that name. How does it stop the AI from freezing? Does it just approximate the infinite loop and, like, guess?
No, it doesn't guess at all. It takes a highly rigorous mathematical shortcut based on pattern recognition. The framework moves through three distinct steps. Step one is stationary detection.
Stationary detection, okay.
Right. The AI scans the region and locks in the baseline physics. It verifies that the existence field is greater than zero, and it locks onto the specific prime quantization rules of that local space.
Okay, so step one is essentially the AI grounding itself. Like, I am looking at a field built on prime numbers.
Exactly. Step two is trajectory tracking. The AI monitors the ODE, the rate of change. It watches the local existence density rising and calculates exactly how fast the light path is curving in response.
It's watching the runaway train accelerate. It sees the curve getting tighter and tighter.
Spot on. And this is where step three prevents the crash, the periodicity check. As the AI tracks these rapidly curving light states, it begins hashing the mathematical output.
Hashing?
Yeah, think of it like taking a highly compressed topological snapshot of the math at 1 millisecond and then taking another snapshot a millisecond later.
Okay, but what do you mean by hashing a state? How does it actually compare a mathematical shape to a previous one?
It basically creates a unique identifier for the specific geometric arrangement of the prime numbers at that exact moment.
Huh?
And by continuously comparing these identifiers, the AI watches for repetition.
Ah, I see where this is going.
Right, because the MSL is a limit cycle, a perfectly closed loop the states eventually have to repeat. The moment the AI detects that the current state's hash matches a previous state's hash, it realizes it is caught in a cycle.
Oh, wow. So it suddenly sees, wait a minute, I've processed this exact geometric configuration before. I am running in a circle.
Exactly.
And because it knows it's a circle, it doesn't need to run the next lap. It just stops calculating.
It stops.
Yeah.
Instead of returning a fatal error or getting stuck in infinite recursion, the AI just outputs a finite threshold descriptor. It returns the message, closed existence loop of period T.
So it pays with just enough computational power to detect the edges of the loop, and then it steps back.
Yes. The algorithmic efficiency is just staggering. This is why it's called continuous collapse theory. The AI successfully collapses the infinite mathematical recursion into a single finite descriptor.
That is brilliant.
In the language of the framework, it maximizes its entropy reduction per compute. It understands the mechanics of the singularity perfectly without ever having to simulate the infinite depth of it. It confirms the mathematical singular light, confirms existence is conserved, and moves on without crashing.
It effectively boxes up infinity, slaps a finite label on it, and just puts it on a shelf.
It's an incredibly profound way for a finite system to comprehend the infinite.
It really is. So, let's take a breath, because this entire deep dive has radically inverted how we view the universe. Let me just trace the line from where we started to where we are.
Go for it.
We dismantled the idea of an empty stage filled with objects, right? And replaced it with a discrete, quantized field where prime numbers act as the fundamental, uncuttable geometries of reality. Then we learned that light isn't a particle flying through the dark. It is the operator, the sculptor, that actually bends those primes. We saw how a runaway feedback loop of density and bending creates a perfectly closed loop, a limit cycle that mimics a supermassive black hole without needing a single ounce of actual mass.
Which still blows my mind.
Same. And then we found out that information dropped into this limit cycle isn't destroyed. It branches into an infinitely complex topological vault. And finally, we explored how an AI, using the ODECCT framework, can navigate that incredibly dense maze by recognizing repeating patterns and collapsing infinite math into a finite, highly efficient solution.
That's the whole picture, yeah.
So what does this all mean?
Well, if we synthesize the entire framework, it all crystallizes in what the sources call the unified core equation. It's this singular, elegant statement that balances two opposing cosmic mechanics.
Two mechanics.
Right. On one side, you have the prime existence compression, the geometric density pulling everything inward. Mm-hmm. And on the other side, you have the light bending operator attempting to redistribute that existence out into a branched mesh.
Ah, the ultimate push and pull of reality.
Exactly. And at equilibrium, when those two dynamics perfectly balance out, the rate of change hits zero, even as the bending hits infinity. You get the perfectly stable singular light.
Wow.
What this tells us fundamentally changes cosmology.
Yeah.
A singularity is not a glitch in the matrix. It is not a place where physics breaks. It is the absolute maximum connectivity state of reality. It is the perfect lossless equilibrium where primes, light, and information converge into a masterwork of mathematical stability.
It's not the garbage disposal of the universe. It's the ultimate pristine vault.
Perfectly said.
Which leaves me with a thought that I want you, the listener, to ponder as you go about your day. We've spent this time talking about the vast extremes of the cosmos, you know, supermassive loops of pure light and branching topological geometry.
Kids concepts.
Very big.
Mm.
But if the deepest, most secure, perfectly conserved structures in existence are just highly connected feedback loops, what does that imply about the nature of our own internal worlds?
Oh, that's an interesting angle.
Right. Think about the loops firing in your own neural pathways right now as you process this deep dive. Your thoughts, your deeply held memories, are they just complex prime structures woven into your own localized mesh of light?
The architecture of the cosmos mirrored perfectly in the architecture of the mind.
Are we, at our absolute core, just mathematical limit cycles observing ourselves? Something to think about the next time you look up at the night sky.